Welcome to Sunday Talks from Center for Spiritual Living, Minneapolis. Each week, we share practical New Thought wisdom to support spiritual growth, healing, and inspired living. Our theme for August of 2026 is The Fear and the Furious. If it's all God, then that allness includes love, peace, and joy. But what about fear, anger, the overall crazy of it all? There's a power for good, and it includes all of it. Join us this month as we put fear and anger to work for the good response. Our August 2nd talk is Anger as a Force for Change with Reverend Joanne Biewald. What if anger isn't something to get rid of, but something worth listening to? We'll explore how anger can reveal what matters most and how energy can be transformed into loving, purposeful action. And now, here is Reverend Joanne Biewald.
Thank you. Thank you, David, for that music that you provided. Thanks, Leif, for the reading. And Debbie, thank you for everything you do, always. New month, August, and so we have a new theme, The Fear and the Furious. So we're going to soften a little bit, because this week my particular title is Anger as a Force for Change, as David was just singing about. Anger is a force for change, so we can use anger for our good. We can use it instead of just flying off the handle, we can use it for something good. And of course, I do a lot of research coming up with these ideas, and one of the researches I do is I scroll down on Facebook to see if there's any good ideas. Well, lo and behold, here I come up to this thing that says, the 9 levels of Midwest anger. Okay, the first one, number 9, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Number 8, whoa, whoa, whoa. We can get real hostile here. Number 7, hold your horses. That was one in my house, in the house where I grew up. Hold your horses. Another one is, geez Louise. Really letting that anger out. For heaven's sake. Hey, you're my aunt saying that to this day. If I had a nickel for every time. Well, now just wait a minute. For Pete's sake. Listen here, pal. So we in the Midwest can really get riled up, right? Well, personally speaking, I got a lot of other things I could list on here that probably aren't appropriate for me to share with you. But those are some of the things. The idea about what I'm talking about today is that anger can be a signal for us. It can be an alarm. When we get angry, that can say, pay attention to something. One of the authors I like that kind of fits into our philosophy is a woman by the name of Brené Brown. Many of you have read some of her books. I think the one that we've read and maybe done some work on, I think I did a class on it, was Rising Strong. And she wrote this in another book called Braving the Wilderness, which I haven't read. She says, when we're in pain and fear, and I added guilt, anger and hate are our go-to emotions. It's easier to be angry than it is to be hurt or scared. Anger is a catalyst. Holding on to it will make us exhausted and sick. And I think she knows whereof she speaks. Or sometimes anger can mask a far more difficult emotion like grief, regret, or shame. And we need to use it to dig into what we're really feeling. When I read this, came to my mind a good friend of mine, actually, whose memorial service I'm going to on Saturday. You know, you get to be my age, people, you lose people. Yeah, but I remember probably 20, 30, 40, I don't know how many years ago this was, she had a nice boyfriend, and he was at her townhouse, but she had a doings to go to, a work event that she was going to, and he said, well, just, you know, go, have a good time. I'm going to be here. I'll keep the home fires burning for you. Just have a great time. So she goes to this event. She runs into an old boyfriend. And they get together. And they spend a little time together. And on her way home, she was feeling guilt. And she was feeling terrible about herself. She got this nice boyfriend. And she never did do guilt well. The emotion she did well was anger. She liked to get mad and yell at people and express her emotions that way. So all the way home, she was thinking about, okay, he's going to come to the door, and he's going to say to me, for crying out loud, I didn't realize you'd be this late. You should have called. I was worried sick. Blah, 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 blah. Well, so she was all ready with her comebacks. And, well, who do you think you are telling me what to do? I'm a grown-up. And so she's getting herself all angered up. She goes home. She opens the door. He's there. He said, oh, you must be just exhausted. He said, why don't you I'll draw you a nice bath. I'll bring you a glass of wine. And she's like, ugh. Here I was all set to be angry, and instead of blaming and stuff, he's being nice to me. She wasn't good at that. She wasn't good at that. She said, I got into the shower. I just told her, I'll just jump in the shower. She said, I jumped in the shower, and she said, I cried, and I cried, and I cried. She was feeling that guilt and that remorse, because sometimes that emotion of anger is easier for a lot of us than perhaps regret or shame. Not for me. I never learned anger in my house. When I grew up, we didn't see anger expressed. I don't know how my folks handled it, but we didn't see it, whatever was going on. And so we didn't really, anger is not an emotion still that I'm comfortable with, and oftentimes it wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and then I realize, then I'm mad. But it isn't until then I even recognize it. Ernest Holmes says, anger can be turned into love, and the very power that has been destroying can be made to build up. And isn't that wonderful? We can take these things that we view as negative, and we can, if we use our minds and if we're willing, we can turn it around to use for good. Holmes teaches that these emotions, including anger, are all expressions of energy. And energy, he says, emotions fuel manifestation. This is what I learned when I became a practitioner many years ago. This was the formula. Intention plus feelings equal manifestation. You know, you set your intention, this is what I want in my life, and then you get some feelings around it, and that's what equals manifestation. And I still use that formula. I think that's fabulous, and that's why I feel comfortable going to my really fundamental Christian relatives, even though we don't exactly believe the same thing about who God is to us and about hell and all that kind of stuff. And yet, I know if I go to them and say, here's my situation, here's my intention, this is what I desire, and will you pray for me? Well, I gave them the intention. They already love me. So their prayers are very effective for me. I have no qualms about asking them to pray for me, because I think that all those ingredients are there for them. And if this anger is left unchecked, we can harm ourselves and others. And I think I did this when I was younger by just automatically stuffing any anger in my life. And what it came out as is migraine headaches over the years. So we can't dismiss it, because it's still with us. But if we can acknowledge it and understand it, we can channel it and we can use that same energy constructively for healing and all kinds of good stuff. So I'm going to be talking about 3 points today. The first point is this: anger as an inner alarm system. So when we get that, you know, when we're triggered by some anger, it can be a wake-up call. Think, what's going on in my life? It's the soul's alarm bell alerting us to imbalance, violation, or injustice. That's what anger does for us. We can think about that. Our teaching invites us to listen deeply to what these emotions are trying to teach us. It's what I love about science of mind. To me, it's practical. It's pragmatic. We can take these lessons and we can put them to work in our daily lives. We can, when we get a handle on that anger, instead of letting it, you know, take us down a road of anger and rage, etc., if we ground ourselves a little bit, then we can choose something that makes more sense. We can make some choices that make sense. Developing conscious awareness of our emotions lets us process them in a very constructive way. And so some of the ways that I think we can think about what's an appropriate way to channel anger. When I first brought my late husband Gary home to my house, and he was talking to my kids one day, and he says to them, he said, "Why are all the canisters in the kitchen, the coffee, the sugar, the flour, why are they all in, the tops are all indented? Why is that?" And they say, "Oh, because when Mom gets mad, she goes boom, 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 boom." And it was a true story. That's what I did. You know, if I'd get mad, I'd want to be hitting something. Well, you know, maybe I was releasing some anger, but I think as I matured a little bit, I realized it would be more constructive if I said, "Leave me alone. I'm going for a walk." And just get out the door and walk for a couple miles, come back, and I would have settled down where I can talk to them about what was so upsetting to me instead of beating up on the canisters. Another thing that I learned over the years is journaling. As I said, this anger stuff that I stuffed so deep that would come up at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would realize after a while that it was helpful if I just plain got up out of bed, said, "Yeah, I get it now, I'm angry about this, whatever happened really irritated me, and I gotta get it off my chest." And here it is, middle of the night, but grab a pencil, grab a piece of paper, and then start to write. "This is what I'm feeling, and why could this possibly happen?" I said bad words on there, I blamed people. I call it diarrhea of the pen. Just let it out. Get it out. And you know, what I found over time is that as I did that, as I got that out of me, as I put it on paper, and I'm writing, and all of a sudden I find I'm writing a prayer. And this rant would turn into something positive and good. And then I could sleep. So journaling, I think, is an excellent thing to do to deal with anger. It's not going to hurt anybody, and in my case, it certainly was something that was healing. So the next point I would like to talk about today is this: redirecting fury into visionary action. You know, take that fury and do something positive with it. And I couldn't help but think of Leif and Karen, because they do so many good things. And I know they don't like me to put them on a pedestal, but I'm gonna. They do good things. And one of the things that I was thinking about is, you know, oftentimes we think there's injustice in this world, and we get all, I'm going to talk to you about it so you can get mad too, and we can just stir that turd together, and we can just get all self-righteous, and we can talk about this. Isn't this great? No, that's not great. That doesn't do any good. what does good is something that Leif did years ago. He joined something called restorative justice. You know, we can say, oh, these juvenile delinquents, you know, what a bunch of spoiled brats they are. They're not accountable for anything. They go into the jewelry stores, they grab the jewelry, they walk out, there's no accountability. What restorative justice is when they take these people who have done stuff like that and make them accountable, and make them do some kind of restoration for the harm they've done. That restoration might be writing a letter to their parents, might be having a conversation with the manager of the store they stole from, whatever it is. But you hear what I'm saying? Instead of just ranting and taking that anger and let's get a few other people stirred up, what can we do that's proactive, that will do some good? And I think that makes a big difference when we shift from reaction, just to, you know, losing it, to something that where we're reacting with a purpose. The energy of anger is potent. It can destroy. On the other hand, we can use it for something to build, too. You know, when you think of something like, when you have these thoughts like, this got to change. You know, listen to yourself. It's got to change, but who's going to change it? You know, think about what can I do in a positive way. Anger shows us what we can't tolerate anymore, and yet we have to take a step beyond that and decide, what can I do? So the third point I want to make this morning is about maintaining composure in challenging situations. And isn't that, it's difficult to do that. A lot of times if our anger is triggered, composure is not what we're experiencing. We're experiencing getting hot and saying things right off the cuff. And the point here is this idea of sort of like the old, if you're angry, count to 10 first before you do anything. And in this situation, we're reminded, take a deep breath. Take a breath, take a pause. Don't react, but take a deep breath and then respond in a way that's responsible, not letting this anger take us down this slippery slope that leads us to more anger and nothing that's positive. And when we're grounded, we can respond from a stronger base, and we can do the things instead of suppressing the anger. What we're doing is we're honoring the anger and saying, but where can I go with this in a positive way? We must learn to feel the heat without closing our hearts. You know, it's not good to just shove that stuff down and pretend it isn't there, but it's good to one of the things that I've learned to say is, you know, to my higher power is, I'm willing for my heart to be softened right here and right now, whatever the situation might be. How bad is that, to get our heart softened? You know, there's not going to hurt anything. And I think when our heart is soft, we are open to the guidance that our higher power so willingly is there to give us. So the whole idea is to just not be triggered and fly off the handle, but take a deep breath, pause, and respond in a positive way. So anger isn't something we have to fix. It's something that, it's not something we want to bury within us, but we have to recognize it's a powerful symbol. It's a powerful signal that we have to pay attention. Something is happening here, and we can learn to use this in a positive way. And again, it's not to bypass it and pretend it's not there. I did that too many years, just shove it down. And it works for a while, but it always comes to bite you in the butt. And so when anger is acknowledged, we can use it as a positive, creative force. And then, of course, the idea when we were triggered to just stop, take a deep breath, and pause. And we know then that we can expect that this anger can be used as fuel for something good. So let's just reflect on this a little bit and think about that. Perhaps this week, think about a time that you were recently triggered or angry about something, and journal about it. What was the deeper message? Was there something beyond this, you know, what you thought triggered you? Were there some boundaries crossed? Were there some values that weren't met? Truths denied? And then just kind of reflect on how you responded to that. How did I respond to that? And then think to yourself, how could that have looked different if I had responded with love? What if I had asked at that time, I am willing to have my heart softened, and then respond in that way? So that's something to reflect on this week. And if you want a little homework, here's something that you might try. When you feel anger, when you realize you're being triggered on something, when you feel that anger, take that sacred pause. Just stop for a moment. Take a deep breath and ask yourself, really, what's mine to do here? Instead of flying off the handle, what's mine to do here? What would be positive and constructive? Maybe I need to set a boundary. Maybe I need to stir up a little compassion in this situation. But whatever it is, pay attention to your emotional energy. You are not your anger. You can deal with it and you can let it work for you. So what I would like to do at this time is invite you to get comfortable where you're sitting. And I'd like to do a spiritual mind treatment, which is an affirmative prayer, just around these words that I've shared with you. And I know there is that one power in the universe, that one power that created the whole universe, everything. I think about all the stars and the solar systems and the galaxies, everything. It's just unfathomable. And that very power also created our galaxy, and it created this little third rock from the sun, which is nothing but a speck in the grand scheme of things. And then I am a speck on that little speck. And the beautiful thing about it is this creator of all this magnificence experiences life in, through, and as me, as this little speck. It experiences life in, as, and through its creation. So I know and I'm appreciative that I am one with that very power, and I speak these words from that power within. And I know that even though I sometimes have stuffed my anger, I've sometimes flown off the handle, sometimes held on to anger till it made me sick. Even though all that, I know that the truth is that anger can be used as a positive catalyst, an alarm of sorts to wake us up to what's going on in our life and to channel it into a meaningful action. I can choose to be proactive, and instead of complaining and bemoaning about the situation, I can open myself to do something that's useful, positive. I can choose to do some journaling. I can do some exercise. I can just consider other proactive ways to deal with this anger. And I'm grateful for these lessons learned. I'm grateful for the Science of Mind philosophy, which has enhanced my life. And I'm grateful for knowing that things are always in divine right order. Wherever we are, whatever is happening, we can move up from this rung of consciousness. We can move higher because everything is in divine right order. I'm grateful for that. And I release these words now to my higher power for perfect manifestation. So it is.